everybody today. Yeah, that's because it takes 15 minutes for announcements. We only worship an hour. No, we only worship an hour. It's all the announcements and all the other stuff. Good morning. Where is everyone today? Well, I guess all the choir's up here. Oh, the no-show. Yep, that's right. You're right.
It doesn't start till noon.
Yeah, well, it doesn't. Yeah, did you hear that from the choir? It doesn't start till noon. You will be out of here before 10 after. I can promise you'll be out of here before 10 after. All right. Announcements this morning. First of all, welcome to all who are here, and if you're traveling to the no-show today, have a wonderful time. This week, Wednesday, choir, please come. And we will be doing our Health Rhythms drumming circle again this Thursday here at 11 a.m. And then next week, the 14th on Thursday at 2 o'clock, we'll be out at the County Care Home and drumming with them. We've become sort of regulars out there with them. So if you want to just come out and have fun and watch us, and you don't have to be able to drum to come to our drumming circle on Thursday. You can just come and sit in the circle and listen and let your blood pressure go down and have a good time. Also, too, important announcement on the Easter flowers. It says on the bottom of the paper that orders must be to Shirley or Mary by April 11th. They need to be to them by next Sunday, the 10th. They have to have the orders in by the 11th. So for those who aren't here right now, just make sure that if you talk to them this week to please pass that information on. We need to get our orders in and have them to them next Sunday morning in church. Also, too, don't forget, next Sunday, April 10th, it is a busy day. The shower for Savannah Wilson will be happening, and it is at 1 o'clock after church. They are serving lunch, so please let Jeanette know if you're planning on coming. They need to be able to make sure that they have food for all and come to a celebration of a baby about to be born, a little boy.
If she makes it, she's been having contractions.
Really? Okay, stand by. We may not have lunch next week. It may be where she's there or not. We'll just all open it. We'll switch presents and we'll all open and just still have fun. And you're not going to play those silly games, are you? I know you have to do that. The other thing is too. There is an invitation. This is all on the 10th. Flowers in the morning. In the afternoon, there's the baby shower for Savannah. And what's his little name going to be again?
Colin.
And then we'll have another C in here with Kevin and Colin and Connell.
They're spelling with a K.
Oh, really? Oh, very interesting. Oh, interesting. And, well, Irish probably, I guess. And that evening at... It's either 6 or 6:30. Call me if you can make it. At St. Paul's, or call Frank. At St. Paul's, it's either 6 o'clock or 6:30. They are going to be showing the movie Young at Heart. It's actually a documentary movie, and it runs, I think, about an hour and a half. It's a little shorter than a regular movie. But it's a wonderful documentary. Anybody that loves to sing, anybody that's aging, which is all of us, just come. It's just a fun. You're very welcome. It's just a fun movie, so please come. And then the last announcement that I know of is that this Wednesday here will be our ongoing our Lenten lectionary study for the scripture for next week. So please come again from 6 to 6:45. And Betty, we usually do end that one on time because everybody has to get to choir. So come to that one. Are there any other announcements that I have forgotten, left out, didn't know about?
You might announce about the gal that died.
Yes. I don't know the day because I haven't heard.
I don't know either.
Yes. But Gloria Jean Carpenter West Godwin, I think I have the order name right, has passed on to the other side, to her eternal life. And boy, she hung on and put on a good fight, because I think I've been waiting for about 2.5 weeks to know where she was in her journey and her passing, but she has passed on. So do hold them in prayer, and we will be having a memorial service here, and it looks to be either next weekend on Saturday or possibly the next Monday or Tuesday. So those that knew her, remembered, if you want a date, maybe give us a call a little bit later in the week, or we'll let you know.
And we will be serving a lunch.
So Mary and Shirley may be contacting you for your help, because she grew up here and has family still here and friends, and came back every year for the reunion. So those of you that can help, just keep in touch with Mary and Shirley. Any other announcements? Thanks, Shirley. Any others?
Yep.
Yes.
And I'm sorry to say this at the same time, but however, next Saturday, not this, but next, the 16th, the Forney family are going to be celebrating Grandma Forney's 90th birthday, and we're going to St. John's in Clarington to celebrate that. So,
St. John's.
So you're going to go to church there?
No, it's on Saturday.
German
is. You're having a celebration.
I said it's the 16th, right?
Yes. Not this week. Actually.
Not this week, but next.
So Isla Forney's 90th birthday is actually the 8th, and the celebration is going to be on Saturday the 16th down at St. John's United Church of Christ. So the 8th of April is Isla Forney's 90th birthday. Any other announcements?
Let us prepare
our hearts to worship God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Hear these words from John 11. I am the resurrection and the life, says the Lord. Everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Amen. You are invited to rise in body, heart, and spirit. Let us join in our call to worship. With the Good Shepherd as our guide, we shall want for nothing. God leads us along peaceful paths, restoring our souls. Even in the shadow of death, we fear no evil. For the Good Shepherd walks with us day and night. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow all the days of our lives. We shall dwell in the house of the Holy God all our life long. Let us join in our prayer of invocation. Shepherding God, you create life from the mud of the earth. You draw forth light from the shadowed corners of chaos. Your goodness and mercy are our closest friends. Great is your name. Jesus, our shepherd, you open our eyes shuttered by sin and prejudice. You heal lives shattered by bitterness. You create pools of still grace in our stress-filled hearts. Great is your love. Holy Spirit, our shepherd, through every darkened valley, you plant seeds of goodness and mercy deep within our souls, so we would bear fruit for others. You awaken us from our troubled sleep so we might be a light to the world. Great is your peace. God in community, Holy One, descend upon us, we pray. Enter our hearts, heal us, and make us whole as we praise you this day. Amen. And our opening hymn is "O for a Thousand Tongues to Sing," number 466 in the Blue Hymnal. This is our time when we get to bring our praises, our blessings, before God and one another in worship. So what are you thankful for this day?
The sun. Amen.
What other things?
Susan?
Yes.
Mark and I have been working down at the Sistersville Presbyterian Church, and Colleen's church donated about 4 years of adult education guides for adult Sunday school to the church. So that would be a blessing.
That is a blessing.
Sistersville Church has donated about 4 or 5 years of adult Sunday school books to us to have to use. So that was a very nice gift from them as they've been down there cleaning their windows so that the light may shine on us or on them.
And actually, that's a joy, too. Those windows you use.
It, yes.
It's really sort of fun to work on. Don't tell me.
Yes. You know what? It's a lovely church, so... Not that we don't want you here, but some Sunday, if you just feel like taking off and going somewhere with family or friends, I'm sure Colleen would just be tickled to death to have you walk in, and you can see their beautiful, beautiful windows. What other joys this day?
And let me just say this about that. They have been suspending themselves on ladders and whatever, and cleaning these stained glass windows with a toothbrush.
and a razor blade.
And they've been doing it for a half a dozen days now, probably.
And
he suspends.
And they are safe and well.
He's
and healthy.
The low man. I'm the high man.
The high man and the low man. Yes, Cheyenne. That who's home? Your mom.
I was
for 4 days, then we are thankful that your mommy is home and here with us. We are glad that you are here with us. What other joys? Any? We have many blessings, I know. Let us continue as we move closer to our Lord and Savior in our time of confession. With our limited sight, we often misjudge people and situations, individually and together. We are involved in sin that cuts us off from God's grace and healing. Let us admit our need for forgiveness this day. Praying together, saying, Great Shepherd, we thank you for finding us and bringing us to this time of prayer. We have wandered far from the paths of integrity, justice and peace that you have set before us. We are ashamed of some things we do when we think no one will find out. We are quick to judge others and to excuse ourselves. We want to decide who is acceptable to you and who is not. Surely we persuade ourselves you prefer people like us and not those who appear, believe, or act differently. Even as we say those words, we know we are not in tune with your way. Forgive us, we pray, and help us to change. Amen. Let us have a time of silent confession and prayer. Amen. Hear these words of assurance. Take comfort. God does not see as mortals see. We look on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. When we let God touch our unseeing eyes, we can begin to view others with the compassion of Christ. Let us accept with joy the healing we are offered right here, right now. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please. Thank you. Guide us, O God, by your word and spirit, that in your light we may see light, in your truth find freedom, and in your will discover your peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please be seated.
Okay, our first reading is 1 Samuel 16, verses 1 through 13 on page 313 of your Bible. Okay, 1 Samuel 16, 1 through 13. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you go on grieving over Saul? I have rejected him as king of Israel. But now get some olive oil and go to Bethlehem to a man named Jesse, because I have chosen one of his sons to be king." "How can I do that?" Samuel asked. "If Saul hears about it, he will kill me." The Lord answered, "Take a calf with you and say that you are there to offer sacrifice to the Lord. Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will tell you what to do. You will anoint as king the man I tell you to." Samuel did what the Lord told him to do and went to Bethlehem, where the city leaders came trembling to meet him and asked, "Is this a peaceful visit, seer?" "Yes," he answered, "I have come to offer sacrifice to the Lord. Purify yourselves and come with me." He also told Jesse and his sons to purify themselves, and he invited them to the sacrifice. When they arrived, Samuel saw Jesse's son Eliab and said to himself, "This man standing here in the Lord's presence is surely the one he has chosen." But the Lord said to him, "Pay no attention to how tall and handsome he is. I have rejected him because I do not judge as man judges. Man looks at the outward appearance, but I look at the heart." Then Jesse called his son Abinadab and brought him to Samuel. But Samuel said, "No, the Lord hasn't chosen him either." Jesse then brought Shammah. "No, the Lord hasn't chosen him either," Samuel said. In this way, Jesse brought seven of his sons to Samuel. And Samuel said to him, "No, the Lord hasn't chosen any of these." Then he asked him, "Do you have any more sons?" Jesse answered, "There is still the youngest, but he's out taking care of the sheep. Tell him to come here," Samuel said. "We won't offer the sacrifice until he comes." So Jesse sent for him. He was a handsome, healthy young man, and his eyes sparkled. The Lord said to Samuel, "This is the one. Anoint him." Samuel took the olive oil and anointed David in front of his brothers. Immediately the Spirit of the Lord took control of David and was with him from that day on. Then Samuel returned to Ramah.
Our second reading this Sunday is Ephesians 5 on page 262 in the New Testament. Ephesians 5, 8 through 14, starting down in the middle of the page. "You yourselves used to be in darkness, but since you have become the Lord's people, you are in the light. You must live like people who belong to the light, for it is the light that brings a rich harvest of every kind of goodness, righteousness, and truth. Try to learn what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the worthless things that people do, things that belong to the darkness. Instead, bring them out to the light. It is really too shameful even to talk about the things they do in secret. And when all things are brought out to the light, then their true nature is clearly revealed. For anything that is clearly revealed becomes light. That is why it is said, 'Wake up, sleeper, and rise from death, and Christ will shine on you.'" And And our responsive reading this Sunday is Psalm 23 on page 607. And the lectern side with Julie will read the odd, and the pulpit side with me will read the even and the last verse together. Psalm 23.
The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need.
He lets me rest in fields of green grass and leads me to quiet pools of fresh water.
He gives me new strength. He guides me in the right paths, as he has promised.
Even if I go through the deepest darkness, I will not be afraid, Lord, for you are with me. Your shepherd's rod and staff protect me.
You prepare a banquet for me, where all my enemies can see me. You welcome me as an honored guest and fill my cup to the brim.
I know that your goodness and love will be with me all my life, and your house will be my home as long as I live. At this time, oh, you know what? I think I forgot to bring the, do you all have the little children? I forgot to bring it. Luann, do you have it to play? Little
yep.
Children, welcome. We'll play it and we'll listen to it. Just play it through once as they come up. And I'm inviting all my kids, even though I know they don't think of themselves as little children, but come on up. Kevin, Connell, Travis, Cheyenne. Come on up. Alrighty.
We're doing a children's sermon time again, and
I know you guys aren't really like little children. You're kind of turning into kids here, I'll tell you. You're growing up so fast. But it helps us sometimes to hear the scripture and hear the story of scripture in a way that maybe just is a little bit easier to understand. And today's scripture is going to be about Jesus healing this man and who was blind. And this man was blind from birth. And what Jesus does is he comes up to him and he spits in his hands and he picks up mud and kind of makes like a salve. And then he puts this mud on this blind man's eyes. And then with his eyes covered with mud, he tells him to go and sends him to this water, to this river, Siloam. And tells him to wash his eyes off and whitewash off the mud. And when the man does this, he can see. Well, there's this huge debate about how is it this man can see and who is this Jesus? And the people called Pharisees, which are like the religious leaders, kind of like myself, but it's all of us religious people, our faithful people, that are questioning, how could this happen? How could Jesus do this? And how could this man be blind from birth and now he sees? So there's all this confusion about how this has happened. And so we're trying to understand what it means when we have faith and when we believe in Jesus. So let me ask you something. When you guys were real little, were you ever afraid of the dark? Did you either want like a light left on? Or did you wake up in the middle of the night maybe and have nightmares and you'd yell to your mom or your dad or if you were at your grandparents, maybe you weren't used to sleeping there and you'd wake up in the middle of the night and you were afraid because you just didn't know where you were or something or you heard a noise. Did you ever do that? I did. You know, I did. And I would never let my mom shut the door all the way. I always had to have the door to my bedroom open just a little crack so I could always see a little bit of light. Did you ever sleep with your door open too? Yeah. Well, you know what?
Even if I closed my door, like anything could still get in because there's like one big gap.
Oh, there's a big gap, so but it could still come in. But do you feel safer when it's open?
I don't know how to brush my back.
Ooh, but you have a nightlight. Well, let me ask you this. When you were sleeping and it was really dark, and your mom or your dad came in just to see if you were okay, or your grandparents, if you were at your grandparents' house, as soon as you saw them walk into your bedroom, did you feel better? Did you just feel safer and feel better when they came walking in? Usually you do, don't you? Don't you usually feel better when you see them? I know I always felt better when I saw my grandparents or my mom come walking in the door of the bedroom. I'd always feel safe again. Well, and then as we get older and bigger, like you guys are now, maybe you start having a nightlight. Now I always liked Winnie the Pooh, so I had a Winnie the Pooh nightlight. I even used this as an adult. I took the bulb out, though, so I wouldn't break it. But I like to have a nightlight. I've got nightlights all over the house so I can see if I get up in the middle of the night. And so the nightlight makes me feel safe. Or maybe as you get older, did you ever start taking a flashlight to bed with you? Because it was always kind of fun to take a flashlight to bed, because then you could put it under your chin and make your chin go red. Or you could put your hand on it and make your fingers red. Or you could put it on your sheet, you know, and then the whole sheet would be all lit up. Did you ever do that? Then your mom and dad would come in and they'd say, oh, you need to go to bed now. It's time to turn out the lights, and that includes the flashlight. And so we have the flashlight. Well, now as we get even bigger and we become adults like these people sitting out here, see, I've got them on my light. What happens is we start to feel pretty comfortable as adults that, well, we're safe. You know, we've got a night light or a flashlight if we need to see in the dark. And we start to rely on ourselves that, you know, we're safe. We don't really need anybody anymore. But the reality is, there are some situations or some things that may happen in life that even carrying a flashlight, or we have this one flashlight that my husband has right now, that's a really big metal one and it's red and it's real heavy. So like if I were ever out in the woods or something at night, if like somebody came up, I kind of would feel like I'd be able to take care of myself with this other flashlight because I could use it if I needed to fend this other person away. You have a miniature one? I love those little miniature ones too. They're fun. Yeah. Yeah. And is it really bright? Yeah. What color is it? Gray. I love it too because you can get them all sorts of different colors. But we feel safe when we have this light. But like I said, sometimes we may be in a situation where we don't have our flashlight. And our moms and dads aren't there, our grandparents or older brothers or sisters. I don't have any brothers or sisters, but some of you guys, do you have a brother or sister? A brother? Sister? Is she younger or older? Is she littler than you? Bigger? Yeah, so does she protect you sometimes? No. Well, you tell her I said she's supposed to protect you, okay? But sometimes, you know, they're not around. You know, you guys have older brothers and sisters, and I know, or yeah, and I know you've got older brothers and sisters too. Like I said, I didn't have any. And sisters, brother. But when those people aren't around and we get scared, well, we can always call on God to be with us and be in our heart. There's a story that I might end up reading today for the adults to hear about this Asian man who was escaping his country because he was being tortured, and he ends up having to go to jail, and even in prison, and he wasn't being in prison because he'd done anything wrong other than trying to leave where he was being hurt. But he talks about always seeing Jesus' face with him. And so we always have Jesus with us, and Jesus becomes our light. And God becomes our light. And so in this story today about this man who is blind that now sees, it's understanding that Jesus is the one that helps us feel safe and that helps us see. If we see Jesus' face, that we're safe. And Jesus, well, we don't really have Jesus like this flashlight that we can hold in our hands and we can look at and we can touch. But we have Jesus inside here, in our heart, and we know that nothing in this world can ever harm us because we always have God with us. We always have Jesus with us because he loves us and cares for us. And we have to hold on to that really, really, really tight, because someone can take away my nightlight, And someone can take away my flashlight, but they can't ever, ever, ever take away that love of God and that love of Jesus in my heart, that they are always and always with me. And that's something you all need to remember, and that you need to believe and need to know that you have inside you, way down deep inside in your heart, or maybe it even feels like it's in your tummy, but you always have that.
Can you feel him in the flashlight? Because he helped create them.
You're right. She's right. She said, and you said you can feel him in the flashlight, or you can't? Say it again. You can. You can feel Jesus, though, in the flashlight, because God has created everything in this world. Everything in this world God is a part of. So you're right. You even can see God and believe that God is here with you in the flashlight. You've just got God everywhere, all around you, and Jesus is with you, all around you. So, any other thoughts? Questions? All right. How about if we have a prayer? All right. Let's stand up. Now, remember, I know you guys don't like to hold hands. And it's a yucky thing when guys have to hold the hand of a girl. You know, but turn around this way. Kevin, Cheyenne, grab hands. But in church, we are all brothers and sisters in God, in Christ. And so when we hold hands in church, it's not like holding hands outside church or like boyfriends or girlfriends or stuff like that. When we hold hands like this, it's because we're holding hands with God inside us and with Jesus inside us. So let's pray. Loving God, you came to us in Jesus to show us the light in the world, to show us how much you love us and that you will take care of us and that you will heal us and that you will always keep us safe. You just want us to believe in you and hold on to you really, really, really tight. Really, really, really tight. And we give you thanks, O God, that you have come to us. Amen. Amen. Thanks, you guys. Gospel lesson for this day is found in the Gospel according to John, chapter 9, verses 1 through 41. Jesus heals a man born blind, on page 137 in your pew Bible. 137, John 9, verses 1 through 41. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man who had been born blind. His disciples asked him, "Teacher, whose sin caused him to be born blind? Was it his own, or his parents' sin?" Jesus answered, "His blindness has nothing to do with his sins or his parents' sins. He is blind so that God's power might be seen at work in him. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light for the world." After he said this, Jesus spat on the ground and made some mud with the spittle. He rubbed the mud on the man's eyes and told him, "Go and wash your face in the pool of Siloam." This name means sent. So the man went, washed his face, and came back seeing. His neighbors then, and the people who had seen him begging before this asked, "Isn't this the man who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "He is the one," but others said, "No, he isn't. He just looks like him." So the man himself said, "I am the man." "How is it that you can now see?" they asked him. He answered, "The man called Jesus made some mud, rubbed it on my eyes, and told me to go to Siloam and wash my face. So I went, and as soon as I washed, I could see." Where is he? Have our eyes opened. Not a literal opening of our eyes, but a spiritual opening of our eyes. We toss that around a lot, spiritual, that word nowadays, but being born of the Spirit. We've been hearing it for the last several weeks, and each of the stories that has happened over the last couple weeks with Nicodemus and the Samaritan woman and now the blind man are all personal experiences. First, Jesus talks about being born of the Spirit, being born again in this world. After all, we're already born. And then he talks to the Samaritan woman, and she knows that she is known, and she knows Jesus as Son of Man, Messiah. And now this day, the blind man, and if you read this scripture again, and I really challenge you and beseech you to read this scripture again at home, because there's so much to catch in here. Because as this story moves along, the man who was blind first talks about Jesus as the man. And then as the story moves along, we hear the word prophet. And then by the time we get to the point where the Pharisees are now involved and the community is now involved, we hear of the Messiah, the one who has come to save. But as always, Jesus has come to save not as people have expected him to do. And Jesus has come to reveal God's way and God's will, but not as we expect. Because we expect things to be done in our typical, usual left brain, rational, functional, tasky, by the law manner. Well, there's a comic I have to read for you this morning because it's so indicative of the Pharisees, which sometimes us clergy can be Pharisaic in our responses, but also all of us Christians sitting in the pews can sometimes be this way. In Andy Cap, Andy is walking along and he's dancing and kicking up his heels and he says, "Goal!" And then as he's walking down the street, he's approaching a gentleman and he says, "Afternoon. You should have been at the game today, Vicar." "I was brilliant," he says to his priest, his pastor, coming down the street. And the pastor says to him, "Now, now, Andy, remember that pride is a sin." As he stands there, Andy gives him this look and then responds, "Why is it when people say that pride is a sin, they always look so proud?" We have that temptation, don't we, to look at the other when something has happened to someone and say, "Oh, now, be careful what you say, be careful how you act, because it's maybe a sin." Well, and that is just what's happened here today. Who sinned? This man or his parents? Well, that's interesting in and of itself, as he was born blind. So there is an assumption in their laws. There is an assumption out of their religious faith that this man could have sinned even before birth, to be born blind. But Jesus comes along, and on the Sabbath day, when no one is to work, and remember that whole conversation about tying the knots and the girdle, and, well, if you weren't here that Sunday, get that tape. And Jesus heals on the Sabbath. He takes this mud, and he heals. Well, for the Pharisees, when they find out about this, when the blind man comes, they go strictly into their book of law. Remember, these are the people that spend their life following the law to the letter of the law. So they want to know, well, who sinned in the first place, this man or his parents? They want to know what happened in this situation. And then they want to know how this healing took place exactly, and when did this healing take place exactly, because they've heard and they're pretty sure that it took place on the Sabbath. And then they want to know exactly where it took place and how was this water, this pool of Siloam involved. And oh, then the ultimate question, who did this and by what authority this man did this healing? They want to know by the book of the law how this could take place. So then they call upon his parents. Now his parents, people that he should be able to depend on and be confident in, that would support him and be by his side as he stands before the leaders of the church. His parents say, hey, he's our son. He was born blind. Don't know what happened here, don't really know who did it. He's a grown man, ask him, he can speak for himself, because his parents don't want to get put out of the church. They don't want to get put out of the temple. And so his parents retreat and leave him standing up there all by himself. And then the community, his neighbors, well, they're not going to really get involved and stand up for him either. Some of them say, well, this guy, he is the guy who was blind, born blind. And others are saying, no, 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 not so sure that it's him. Kind of looks like him, but not so sure. Everybody is afraid to be associated with this man and the circumstances of how this change has happened in him. They're not quite sure what to think of it. Do they really believe it? Is it a trick? And this man, Jesus, not so sure about him. But the blind man, at one point, I think it's in verse 17, thereabouts, the blind man says to everyone, and the religious ones, you are looking at an astonishing thing. And I don't know. I don't know. I was blind, and now I see. Listen to this story of, well, you'll recognize who the story is about. And it's from the book entitled, The Story of My Life. Picture this as you will. We walked down the path to the well house, attracted by the fragrance of the honeysuckle with which it was covered. Someone was drawing water, and my teacher placed my hand under the spout as the cool stream gushed over one hand. She spelled into the other the word water. First slowly, then rapidly, I stood still, my whole attention fixed upon the motions of her fingers. Suddenly, I felt a misty consciousness as if something forgotten, a thrill of returning thought, and somehow the mystery of language was revealed to me. I knew then that water meant that wonderful, cool something that was flowing over my hand. That living word awakened my soul, gave it light, hope, joy, set it free. There were barriers still, it is true, but barriers that could in time be swept away. I left the well house eager to learn. Everything had a name. And each name gave birth to a new thought. As we returned to the house, every object which I touched seemed to quiver with life. That was because I saw everything with the strange new insight that had come to me. I learned a great many new words that day. I do not remember what they all were, but I do know that mother, father, sister, teacher were among them. Words that were to make the world blossom for me, like Aaron's rod with flowers. It would have been difficult to find a happier child than I was as I lay in my crib at the close of that eventful day and lived over the joys it had brought to me, and for the first time longed for a new day to come. Helen Keller. How amazing that moment when the world, life, became alive for her. And suddenly, as she said, that living water became water. And her world opened up. And she had a sight, an understanding that she had never had before. That's what a spiritual awakening is for us. And it's not something out here. It's in us, like the Samaritan woman and Nicodemus and that blind man standing there going, "You are looking at an astonishing thing. I don't know, but I see." The one who was blind is now the one who has sight, spiritually, literally. But the Pharisees, the ones who were supposed to be the men of God, the ones who were the enlightened ones, the ones who understood what God was telling us so that they could tell us what God was communicating to us, are looking at the glory of God manifest in this blind man, and yet they live in darkness. They live in sin, the sin of their own disbelief, because they can't just accept. "I don't know, I was blind, and now I see, because I was touched by God." How will you live? You have a choice. As one who was blind and now sees and don't understand, but accept it and receive it, or as one who just chooses to say, "How did this happen? When exactly did this happen? Now who did it? What were the circumstances?" Amen. Our prayers. Our prayers of concern. Those that need to be lifted up. We lift up our prayers for Gloria Jean West Godwin's family this day. Any others? We still hold the people of Japan and actually globally, their farmers, and how the effects of the radiation, that ripple effect that happens around the world. We are not that far from them. Any others? Let us prepare our hearts for prayer. Let us pray. God of light, God of human flesh, God of wind, God of water, God of spirit, holy creator of all that is, We beseech you this day, O Lord, to put mud on our eyes, that we might wash away all that keeps us from seeing you with our hearts, from knowing your joy, from experiencing the hope and new life that you bring through Christ. The new hope that is promised for us on Easter morning as we make this journey to the cross, through the resurrection, to the new life. We ask, O Lord, that on this day you hear all our prayers, those spoken and unspoken. Hear our prayer, O Lord, for the people of Japan. Hear, O Lord, our prayers for the farmers of that country and for the people that work in industries that are now relocating to other places in the world and taking away livelihood from them. For those who are trying to find family and can't get to them because of the radiation. For all the uncertainty, O Lord, that we can't even fathom, we pray for them with our hearts. We pray for all those who are going through an uncertain journey in this life, in illness, those who are actively dying, and those who have passed on to new life with you, O Lord. Look upon them, judge them with your grace and your mercy and your love, and receive them in your holy home. We ask, O Lord, that you continue to bless our country, those who are in charge and make decisions for the common people. May they hear the voice of many and be brave enough to take the high road, to stand firm in conviction of what is just and right and fair, and not be concerned about their reputations or their pride. We ask, O Lord, that as you watch over our president and all the leaders around the world, that as they suffer turmoil and uncertainty from the common people, as we look at the events occurring in the world and are fearful of the unknown, that your guiding hand may lead us to a place of unity, to a place of peace, and a place of oneness for all. And we ask, O Lord, your prayers upon your church, that we might forever be your beacon of light, your beacon of hope in the world. We ask, O Lord, now that you hear us as we pray as Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us no longer blind ourselves to the truth. The earth is already God's and the fullness thereof. Let us present with joy our offerings of commitment and support for the work of Christ Church through the Holy Spirit in our community and the world. Thank you. Let us pray together, saying, Healing God, cure our financial blindness that locks shut our hearts. Open our eyes to the wonders and blessings that will follow these offerings. Receive what we have freely offered and work for your miracles in a suffering world. This we pray because you first inspired us with your Spirit. Amen. Live the words of the ancient Christian hymn. Sleeper, awake, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Amen. Our closing hymn, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, 280 in the Blue Hymnal. Of mortals, go forth today, intent to see as God does on the heart of every mortal. Amen.